to rob Helen. Henry and the baby, they'll both go to him if you go to prison. To rob. Not to us, not to Mum and Dad. So if you want to stop that happening, you have to plead not guilty. Because that's what you are. Somehow Rob made you do it. I know he did.
And we'll be back in Ambridge as usual tonight at 7 when Helen comes to a decision. This is BBC Radio 4. Before we cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, a look ahead to the weekend.
Glenda Jackson stars in an epic story of family, society and the birth of modern France.
Lust. That deadly sin.
Based on the novels by Emile Zola.
Right now, I've got to get ready. But you're welcome to stay while I change.
Blood, sex, and money.
How would it be if I went on stage looking like this? Would I get a standing ovation?
Season 2, Sex, begins on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 and continues throughout the week on BBC Radio 4.
Helen Mark explores the Lincolnshire woods through the poetry of Alfred Lord Tennyson. Open Country is at 3. But now on BBC Radio 4, the final part of Julius Caesar. Following Caesar's assassination, Brutus and Cassius have been forced to flee Rome. But the combined forces of Mark Antony and Octavius are hot on their heels. Part 3 of Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare.
These many then shall die. Their names are pricked.
Your brother too must die. Consent you, Lepidus?
I do consent.
Prick him down, Antony.
Upon condition, Publius shall not live. Who is your sister's son, Mark Antony?
He shall not live. Look, with a spot, I damn him. But, Lepidus, go you to Caesar's house. Fetch the will hither, and we shall determine how to cut off some charge in legacies.
Or shall I find you here?
Or here, or at the capital.
This is a slight, unmeritable man. Meet to be sent on errands. Is it fit the threefold world divided? He should stand one of the three to share it.
So you thought him and took his voice who should be pricked to die in our black sentence and prescription.
Octavius, I have seen more days than you. And though we lay these honours on this man to ease ourselves of diverse slanderous loads, he shall but bear them as the ass bears gold, to groan and sweat under the business, either led or driven, as we point the way. And having brought our treasure where we will, then take we down his load and turn him off, like to the empty ass, to shake his ears and graze in commons.
You may do your will, but he's a tried and valiant soldier.
So is my horse, Octavius, and for that I do appoint him store of provender. It is a creature that I teach to fight, to wind, to stop, to run directly on. His corporal motion governed by my spirit, and in some taste is Lepidus but so. He must be taught and trained and bid go forth. A barren-spirited fellow, one that feeds on objects, arts, and imitations, which, out of use and staled by other men, begin his fashion. Do not talk of him, but as a property. And now, Octavius, listen, great things. Brutus and Cassius are levying powers. We must straight make head. Therefore, let our alliance be combined, our best friends made, our means stretched, and let us presently go sit in council, how covert matters may be best disclosed, and open perils surest answered.
Let us do so, for we are at the stake, and bade about with many enemies, and some that smile have in their hearts, I fear, millions of mischiefs.
Stand ho!
Give the word ho and stand!
What now, Lucilius? Is Cassius near?
He's at hand. Pindarus has come to do you salutation from his master.
He greets me well. Your master, Pindarus, in his own change or by ill officers, hath given me some worthy cause to wish things done, undone. But if he be at hand, I shall be satisfied.
I do not doubt but that my noble master will appear, such as he is, full of regard and honor.
He is not doubted. A word, Lucilius. How he received you, let me be resolved.
With courtesy and with respect enough, but not with such familiar instances, nor with such free and friendly conference as he hath used of old.
Thou hast described a hot friend coolly. Ever note, Lucilius, when love begins to sicken and decay, it useth an enforced ceremony. There are no tricks in plain and simple faith. But hollow men, like horses hot at hand, make gallant show and promise of their mettle. But when they should endure the bloody spur, they fall their crests and, like deceitful jades, sink in the trial. Comes his army on.
They mean this night in Sardis to be quartered. The greater part, the horse in general, are come with Cassius.
Stand ho!
Hark, he has arrived.
Most noble brother, you have done me wrong.
Judge me, you gods. Wrong I mine enemies, and if not so, how could I wrong a brother?
Brutus, this sober form of yours hides wrongs, and when you do them...
Cassius, be content. Speak your griefs softly. I do know you well. Before the eyes of both our armies here, which should perceive nothing but love from us, let us not wrangle. Bid them move away. Then in my tent, Cassius, enlarge your griefs, and I will give you audience.
Pindarus, bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground.
Lucilius, do you the like, and let no man come to our tent till we have done our conference. Let Lucius and Titinius guard our door.
That you have wronged me doth appear in this. You have condemned and noted Lucius Pella for taking bribes here of the Sardians, where in my letters, praying on his side because I knew the man, was slighted off.
You wronged yourself to write in such a case.
In such a time as this, it is not meet that every nice offence should bear his comment.
Let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm, to sell and mart your offices for gold to undeserving.
I, an itching palm? You know that you are Brutus that speaks this, or by the gods, this speech were else your last.
The name of Cassius honours this corruption, and chastisement doth therefore hide his head.
Chastisement?
Remember March, the Ides of March, remember. Did not great Julius bleed for justice' sake? What villain touched his body that did stab and not for justice? What? Shall one of us that struck the foremost man of all this world but for supporting robbers, shall we now contaminate our fingers with base bribes and sell the mighty space of our large honours for so much trash as may be grasped thus? I had rather be a dog and bay the moon than such a Roman.
Brutus, bay not me. I'll not endure it. You forget yourself to hedge me in. I am a soldier. I, older in practice, abler than yourself to make conditions.
Go to. You are not, Cassius.
I am.
I say you are not.
Urge me no more. I shall forget myself. Have mind upon your health. Tempt me no further.
Away, slight man.
Hast possible?
Hear me, for I will speak. Must I give way and room to your rash choler? Shall I be frighted when a madman stares?
Oh, ye gods. Ye gods, must I endure all this?
All this, aye, more. Fret till your proud heart break. Go show your slaves how choleric you are and make your bondmen tremble. Must I budge? Must I observe you? Must I stand and crouch under your testy humour? By the gods, you shall digest the venom of your spleen, though it do split you. For from this day forth, I'll use you for my mirth, yea, for my laughter, when you are waspish.
Is it come to this?
You say you are a better soldier. Let it appear so. Make your vaunting true, and it shall please me well. For mine own part, I shall be glad to learn of noble men.
You wrong me everywhere. You wrong me, Brutus. I said an elder soldier, not a better. Did I say better?
If you did, I care not.
When Caesar lived, he durst not thus have moved me.
Peace, peace! You durst not so have tempted him.
I durst not.
No.
What? Durst not tempt him?
For your life, you durst
not.
Not
presume too much upon my love. I may do that. I shall be sorry for.
You have done that you should be sorry for. There is no terror, Cassius, in your threats. For I am armed so strong in honesty that they pass by me as the idle wind, which I respect not. I did send to you for certain sums of gold which you denied me. For I can raise no money by vile means. By heaven, I had rather coin my heart and drop my blood for drachmas than to wring from the hard hands of peasants their vile trash by any indirection.
I did send to you for gold to pay my legions, which you denied me. Was that done like Cassius? Should I have answered Caius Cassius so? When Marcus Brutus grows so covetous to lock such rascal counters from his friends, be ready, gods, with all your thunderbolts. Dash him to pieces.
I denied you.
You did
not. I did not. He was but a fool that brought my answer back. Brutus hath rived my heart. A friend should bear his friend's infirmities, but Brutus makes mine greater than they are.
I do not till you practice them on me.
You love me not.
I do not like your faults.
A friendly eye could never see such faults.
A flatterer's would not, though they do appear as huge as high Olympus.
Come, Antony, and young Octavius, come. Revenge yourselves alone on Cassius. For Cassius is aweary of the world, hated by one he loves, braved by his brother, checked like a bondman, all his faults observed, set in a notebook, learned and conned by rote, to cast into my teeth. Oh, I could weep my spirit from mine eyes. There is my dagger, and here's my naked breast. Within a heart dearer than Pluto's mine, richer than gold, if that thou beest a Roman, take it forth. I that denied thee gold will give my heart strike, as thou didst at Caesar, for I know when thou didst hate him worse, thou lovest him better than ever thou lovest Cassius.
Sheathe your dagger. Be angry when you will, it shall have scope. Do what you will, dishonour shall be humour. Oh, Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire. Who much enforced shows a hasty spark, and straight is cold again.
Hath Cassius lived to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus when grief and blood ill-tempered vexeth him?
When I spoke that, I was ill-tempered too.
Do you confess so much? Give me your hand.
And my heart, too.
Oh, Brutus.
What's the matter?
Have not you love enough to bear with me when that rash humour which my mother gave me makes me forgetful?
Yes, Cassius. And from henceforth, when you are over earnest with your Brutus, he'll think your mother chides and leave you so.
Let me go in to see the generals. There is some grudge between them. 'Tis not meet they be alone.
You shall not come to them.
Nothing but death sustain me.
Oh, now, what's the matter?
For shame, you generals, what do you mean? Love and be friends as two such men should be. For I have seen more years, I'm sure, than ye.
How vilely doth this cynic rhyme.
Get you hence, sirrah, saucy fellow, hence.
Bear with him, Brutus, 'tis his fashion.
I'll know his humour when he knows his time. What should the wars do with these jigging fools? Companion, hence!
Away! Away, be gone!
Lucilius and Titinius, bid the commanders prepare to lodge their companies tonight.
And come yourselves and bring Messala with you.
Lucius, a bowl of wine.
I did not think you could have been so angry.
Oh, Cassius, I am sick of many griefs.
But of your philosophy you make no use if you give place to accidental evils.
No man bears sorrow better. Portia is dead.
Huh? Portia?
She is dead.
How escaped I killing when I crossed you so? Oh, insupportable and touching loss, upon what sickness?
Impatient of my absence, and grief that young Octavius with Mark Antony have made themselves so strong, for with her death that tidings came. With this she fell distract, and her attendants absent, swallowed fire.
And died so?
Even so.
Oh, ye immortal gods.
Speak no more of her. Give me a bowl of wine. In this I bury all unkindness, Cassius.
My heart is thirsty for that noble pledge. Fill, Lucius, till the wine o'erswell the cup. I cannot drink too much of Brutus' love.
My lord?
Come in, Messala.
Welcome, good Messala. Now sit me close about this taper here and call in question our necessities.
Messala, I have here received letters that young Octavius and Mark Antony come down upon us with a mighty power, bending their expedition toward Philippi.
Myself have letters of the selfsame tenor.
With what addition?
That by prescription and bills of outlawry, Octavius, Antony, and Lepidus have put to death 100 senators.
Therein our letters do not well agree. Mine speak of 70 senators that died by their prescriptions, Cicero being one.
Cicero, what?
Cicero is dead, and by that order of prescription. Had you your letters from your wife, my lord?
No, Messala.
Nor nothing in your letters writ of her?
Nothing, Messala.
That methinks is strange.
Why ask you, hear you aught of her in yours?
No, my lord.
Now, as you are a Roman, tell me true.
Then, like a Roman, bear the truth I tell. For certain she is dead, and by strange manner.
Why, farewell, Portia. We must die, Messala. With meditating that she must die once, I have the patience to endure it now.
My lord. Even so, great men, great losses should endure.
I have as much of this in heart as you, but yet my nature could not bear it so.
Well, to our work alive. What do you think of marching to Philippi presently?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
Oh, this it is. It is better that the enemy seek us, so shall he waste his means, weary his soldiers, doing himself offence, whilst we, lying still, are full of rest, defence, and nimbleness.
Good reasons must of force give place to better. The people twixt Philippi and this ground do stand but in a forced affection, for they have grudged us contribution. The enemy, marching along by them shall make a fuller number up, come on refreshed, new added and encouraged. From which advantage shall we cut him off, if at Philippi we do face him there, these people at our back?
Hear me, good brother.
Under your pardon. You must note beside that we have tried the utmost of our friends. Our legions are brimful, our cause is ripe. The enemy increaseth every day. We at the height are ready to decline.
Good brother.
There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures.
Then with your will go on. We'll along ourselves and meet them at Philippi.
The deep of night is crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity, which we will niggard with a little rest. There is no more to say.
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow we will rise and hence.
Lucius, my gown.
Farewell, good Messala. Good night, Titinius. Noble, noble Cassius, good night and good repose.
Oh, my dear brother, this was an ill beginning of the night. Never come such division between our souls. Let it not, Brutus.
Everything is well.
Good night, my lord.
Good night, good brother.
Good night, Lord Brutus.
Sirs, good night.
Farewell, everyone.
Give me the gown, Lucius. Where is thy instrument?
Here in the tent.
What, thou speak'st drowsily? Poor knave, I blame thee not, thou art o'erwatched. Call Claudius and some other of my men. I'll have them sleep on cushions in my tent.
Varro and Claudius!
Calls, my lord.
I pray you, sirs, lie in my tent and sleep. It may be I shall raise you by and by on business to my brother, Cassius.
So please you, we will stand and watch your pleasure.
Aye, will we?
I will not have it so. Lie down, good sirs, it may be I shall otherwise bethink me. Look, Lucius, here's the book I sought for, sir. I put it in the pocket of my gown.
I was sure your lordship did not give it me.
Bear with me, good boy, I am much forgetful. Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while, and play thy instrument a strain or two?
Aye, my lord, an't please you.
It does, my boy. I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing.
It is my duty, sir.
I should not urge thy duty past thy might. I know young bloods look for a time of rest.
I have slept, my lord, already.
It was well done, and thou shalt sleep again. I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee. This is a sleepy tune. O murderous slumber, layest thou thy leaden mace upon my boy that plays thee music? Gentle knave, good night. I will not do thee so much wrong to wake thee. Let me see, let me see. Is not the leaf turned down where I left reading? Here it is, I think. how ill this taper burns. Who comes here? I think it is the weakness of mine eyes that shapes this monstrous apparition. It comes upon me in the shape of Caesar. Art thou some god, some angel, or some devil that makest my blood cold and my hair to stare? Speak to me what thou art.
Thy evil spirit, Brutus.
Why comest thou?
To tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Well, then I shall see thee again.
Aye, at Philippi.
Why, I will see thee at Philippi then. Now I have taken heart, thou vanishest. Ill spirit, I would hold more talk with thee. Boy, Lucius. Varro, Claudius. Sirs, awake. Claudius.
His chair, my lord, is false.
He thinks he is still at his instrument. Lucius, awake.
My lord.
Didst thou dream, Lucius, that thou so criedst out?
My lord, I do not know that I did cry.
Yes, that thou didst. Didst thou see anything?
Nothing, my lord.
Sleep again, Lucius. Sirrah, Claudius. Fellow thou, awake.
My lord?
My lord!
Why did you so cry out, sirs, in your sleep?
Did we, my lord?
Saw you anything?
No, my lord, I saw nothing.
Nor I, my lord.
Go and commend me to my brother, Cassius. Bid him set on his powers betimes before, and we will follow.
My lord, it shall be done.
Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so. Their battles are at hand. They mean to warn us at Philippi here, answering before we do demand of them.
I am in their bosoms, and I know wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places, and come down with fearful bravery, thinking by this face to fasten in our thoughts that they have courage. But 'tis not so.
Prepare you, generals! The enemy comes on in gallant show. Their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately.
Octavius, lead your battle softly on. Upon the left hand of the even field.
Upon the right hand, I. Keep thou the left.
Why do you cross me in this exigent?
I do not cross you, but I will do so.
They stand and would have parley.
We must out and talk.
Mark Antony, shall they give sign of battle?
No, Caesar, we will answer on their charge. Make forth. The generals would have some words.
Stir not until the signal.
Words before blows. Is it so, countrymen?
Not that we love words better, as you do.
Good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius.
In your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words. Witness the hole you made in Caesar's heart, crying, "Long live! Hail Caesar!"
Antony, the posture of your blows are yet unknown. Before your words, they rob the hiver of bees and leave them honeyless.
Not stingless, too.
Oh, yes, and soundless, too. For you have stolen their buzzing, Antony, and very wisely threat before you sting.
Villains, you did not so when your vile daggers hacked one another in the sides of Caesar. You showed your teeth like apes, fawned like hounds, and bowed like bondmen, kissing Caesar's feet, whilst damned Casca, like a cur behind, struck Caesar on the neck. Oh, you flatterers!
Flatterers! Now, Brutus, thank yourself. This tongue had not offended so today if Cassius might have ruled.
Come, come, the cause. If arguing make us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that the sword goes up again?
Never, till Caesar's 33 wounds be well avenged, or till another Caesar have added slaughter to the sword of traitors.
Caesar, thou canst not die by traitors' hands unless thou bringst them with thee.
So I hope. I was not born to die on Brutus' sword.
Oh, if thou wert the noblest of thy strain, young man, thou couldst not die more honorable.
A peevish schoolboy, worthless of such honor, joined with a masker and a reveler.
Oh, Cassius still.
Come, Antony, away. Defiance, traitors, hurl we in your teeth. If you dare fight today, come to the field. If not, when you have stomachs.
By now blow wind, swell billow, and swim bark. The storm is up, and all is on the hazard.
Oh, Lucilius, hark! A word with you.
My lord. Messala!
Confess, my general.
Messala, this is my birthday, as this very day was Cassius born. Give me thy hand, Messala. Be thou my witness that against my will, as Pompey was, am I compelled to set upon one battle all our liberties. You know that I held Epicurus strong and his opinion. Now I change my mind and partly credit things that do presage. Coming from Sardis on our former ensign, two mighty eagles fell, and there they perched, gorging and feeding from our soldiers' hands, who to Philippi here consorted us. This morning are they fled away and gone, and in their steads do ravens, crows, and kites fly o'er our heads and downward look on us as we were sickly prey. Their shadows seem a canopy most fatal under which our army lies, ready to give up the ghost.
Believe not so.
I but believe it partly, for I am fresh of spirit and resolved to meet all perils very constantly.
Even so, Lucilius.
Now, most noble Brutus, the gods today stand friendly that we may, lovers in peace, lead on our days to age. But since the affairs of men rest still uncertain, let's reason with the worst that may befall. If we do lose this battle, then is this the very last time we shall speak together? What are you then determined to do?
Even by the rule of that philosophy, by which I did blame Cato for the death which he did give himself, I know not how, but I do find it cowardly and vile, for fear of what might fall, so to prevent the time of life. Arming myself with patience, to stay the providence of some high powers that govern us below.
But then if we lose this battle, you are contented to be led in triumph through the streets of Rome.
No, Cassius, no. Think not, thou noble Roman, that ever Brutus will go bound to Rome. He bears too great a mind. But this same day must end that work the Ides of March begun. And whether we shall meet again, I know not. Therefore our everlasting farewell take, forever and forever. Farewell, Cassius. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile. If not, why then this parting was well made.
Forever and forever, farewell, Brutus. If we do meet again, we'll smile indeed. If not, 'tis true, this parting was well made.
Why then lead on? Oh, that a man might know the end of this day's business ere it come. But it sufficeth that the day will end, and then the end is known. Come home, away! To the legions on the other side. Let them set on at once, for I perceive but cold demeanor in Octavius' wing, and sudden push gives them the overthrow. Ride, ride, Messala! Let them all come down!
Oh, look, Titinius! Look, the villains fly! Myself and to mine own turned enemy, this ensign here of mine was turning back. I slew the coward and did take it from him.
Oh, Cassius, Brutus gave the word too early. who, having some advantage on Octavius, took it too eagerly. His soldiers fell to spoil, whilst we, by Antony, are all enclosed.
Fly further off, my lord. Fly further off. Mark Antony's in your tents, my lord. Fly therefore, noble Cassius. Fly far off.
This hill is far enough. Look. Look, Titinius. Are those my tents where I perceive the fire?
They are, my lord.
Titinius, if thou lovest me, mount thou my horse and hide thy spurs in him till he have brought thee up to yonder troops and here again, that I may rest assured whether yon troops are friend or enemy.
I will be here again, even with a thought. Yeah!
Go, Pindarus. Get higher on that hill. My sight is ever thick. Regard Titinius and tell me what thou knowest about the field.
This day I breathe first. Time is come round, and where I did begin, there shall I end. My life is round his compass.
Sirrah, what news?
Oh, my lord!
What news?
Titinius is enclosed round about with horsemen that make to him on the spur, yet he spurs on. Now they are almost on him. Now, Titinius! Now some light! Oh, he lights too! He's tamed! And hard they shout for joy!
Come down! Behold no more. Oh, coward that I am to live so long to see my best friend tamed before my face. Come hither, sirrah. In Parthia did I take thee prisoner, and then I swore thee saving of thy life that whatsoe'er I did bid thee do, thou shouldst attempt it. Oh, come now, keep thine oath. Now be a free man, and with this good sword that ran through Caesar's bowels, search this bosom.
My lord!
Stand there to answer. Here, take thou the hilts, and when my face is covered as 'tis now, guide thou the sword.
Caesar, thou art revenge, even with the sword to kill.
So I am free, yet would not so have been, durst I have done my will. Oh, Cassius, far from this country Pindarus shall run, where never Roman shall take note of him.
It is but change, Titinius. For Octavius is overthrown by noble Brutus' power, as Cassius' legions are by Antony.
These tidings will well comfort Cassius.
Where did you leave him?
All disconsolate with Pindarus, his bondman, on this hill.
Is not that he that lies upon the ground?
He lies not like the living. Oh, my heart.
Is not that he?
No, this was he, Messala. But Cassius is no more. Oh, setting sun, as in thy red rays thou dost sink tonight, so in his red blood Cassius' day is set. The sun of Rome is set. Our day is gone. Clouds, dews, and dangers come. Our deeds are done. Mistrust of my success hath done this deed.
Mistrust of good success hath done this deed. Oh, hateful error, melancholy's child, why dost thou show to the apt thoughts of men the things that are not? Oh, error, soon conceived, thou never comest unto a happy birth, but killst the mother that engendered thee.
What? Pindarus! Where art thou, Pindarus?
Seek him, Titinius. Whilst I go to meet the noble Brutus, thrusting this report into his ears, I may say thrusting it, for piercing steel and darts envenomed shall be as welcome to the ears of Brutus as tidings of this sight.
Hire you, Messala, and I will seek for Pindarus the while. Why didst thou send me forth, brave Cassius? Did I not meet thy friends? And did not they put on my brows this wreath of victory and bid me give it thee? Didst thou not hear their shouts? Alas, thou hast misconstrued everything. But hold thee. Take this garland on thy brow.
thy Brutus bid me give it thee, and I will do his bidding. Brutus, come apace, and see how I regarded Caius Cassius.
By your leave, gods, this is a Roman's part. Come, Cassius' sword, and find Satinius' heart.
Where, Messala, doth his body lie?
Lo, yonder, and Titinius mourning it.
Titinius' face is upward.
He is slain.
O Julius Caesar, thou art mighty yet. Thy spirit walks abroad and turns our swords in our own proper entrails.
Brave Titinius. Look whether he hath not crowned dead Cassius.
Are yet two Romans living such as these? The last of all the Romans, fare thee well. It is impossible that ever Rome should breed thy fellow. Friends, I owe more tears to this dead man than you shall see me pay. I shall find time, Cassius. I shall find time. Come therefore unto Thasos, send his body. His funeral shall not be in our camp, lest it discomfort us. Lucilius, come! And come, my Cato, let us to the field. Labio and Flavius, set our battles on. 'Tis 3 o'clock, and Romans, yet ere night we shall try fortune in a second fight.
Infantrymen, oh yet, hold up your heads!
Master doth not.
Who will go with me? I will proclaim my name about the field. I am the son of Marcus Cato, ho! A foe to tyrants and my country's friend. I am the son of Marcus Cato, ho! And I am Brutus, Marcus Brutus, I, Brutus, my country's friend.
O young and noble Cato, art thou down? Why, now thou diest as bravely as Titinius, and mayst be honored being Cato's son.
Yield, or thou diest!
Only I yield to die. There is so much that thou will kill me straight. Kill Brutus, and be honored in his death.
We must not. A noble prisoner.
Room, ho! Tell Antony Brutus's tale.
I'll tell the news. Here comes the general.
Brutus is ta'en! Brutus is ta'en, my lord!
Where is he?
Safe, Antony. Brutus is safe enough. I dare assure thee that no enemy shall ever take alive the noble Brutus. The gods defend him from so great a shame. When you do find him, or alive or dead, he will be found like Brutus, like himself.
This is not Brutus, friend, but I assure you a prize no less in worth. Keep this man safe. Give him all kindness. I'd rather have such men my friends than enemies. Go on and see whether Brutus be alive or dead, and bring us word unto Octavia's tent how everything is chanced.
Come, poor remains of friends, rest on this rock.
Statilius showed the torchlight, but my lord, he came not back. He is or ta'en or slain.
Sit thee down, Clytus. Slaying is the word, it is a deed in fashion. Come hither, good Volumnius, list a word.
What says my lord?
Why this, Volumnius? The ghost of Caesar hath appeared to me 2 several times by night, at Sardis once, and this last night here in Philippi fields. I know my hour is come.
Not so, my lord.
Nay, I am sure it is, Volumnius. Thou seest the world, Volumnius, how it goes. Our enemies have beat us to the pit. It is more worthy to leap in ourselves than tarry till they push us. Good Volumnius, thou knowest that we 2 went to school together. Even for that, our love of old, I prithee, hold thou my sword hilts whilst I run on it.
That's not an office for a friend, my lord.
Fly, fly, my lord. There is no tarrying here.
Farewell to you. And you, Volumnius. Strato, thou hast been all this while asleep. Farewell to thee too, Strato. Countrymen,
My heart doth joy that yet in all my life I found no man but he was true to me. I shall have glory by this losing day, more than Octavius and Mark Antony by this vile conquest shall attain unto. So fare you well at once. For Brutus' tongue hath almost ended his life's history. Night hangs upon mine eyes. My bones would rest that have but labored to attain this hour.
Fly, my lord, fly!
Hence I will follow. I prithee, Strato, stay thou by thy lord.
My lord?
Thou art a fellow of good respect. Thy life hath had some smatch of honor in it. Hold then my sword and turn away thy face while I do run upon it. Wilt thou, Strato?
Give me your hand first. Fare you well, my lord.
Farewell, good Strato.
Caesar, now be still. I killed not thee with half so good a will.
What man is that?
My master's man. Strato, where is thy master?
Free from the bondage you are in, Messala. The conquerors come but make a fire of him. For Brutus only overcame himself. No man else hath honour by his death.
So Brutus should be found. I thank thee, Brutus, that thou hast proved Lucilius' saying true.
All that serve Brutus, I will entertain them. Fellow, wilt thou bestow thy time with me?
Aye, if Messala will prefer me to thee.
Do so, good Messala.
How died my master, Strato?
I held the sword, and he did run on it.
Octavius, then take him to follow thee, that did the latest service to my master.
This was the noblest Roman of them all. All the conspirators, save only he, did that they did in envy of great Caesar. He only, in a general honest thought, and common good to all, made one of them. His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man.
According to his virtue, let us use him, with all respect and rites of burial. Within my tent, his bones tonight shall lie, most like a soldier, ordered honorably. So call the field to rest, and let's away, depart the glories of this happy day.
Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. Caesar was played by Tim Pigott-Smith. Brutus, Robert Glenister. Cassius, Sam Troughton. And Mark Antony by Jamie Parker. Casca was Philip Fox. Portia, Fenella Woolgar. Octavius, Wilf Scolding. Calpurnia, Jessica Turner. And Lucius was Adam Thomas Wright. Other parts were played by Sam Dale, Neet Mohan, David Acton, Stephen Critchlow, David Hounslow, Chris Pavlo, and Mark Edelhunt. The director was Mark Beebe.
Tomorrow's drama takes us inside the head of Antony, a boy so full of rage that it's ruining his life. Now he's turning from his past and starting again in a new place. The Rage is tomorrow's drama at 2:15. Coming up next, after the news, Helen Mark explores the Lincolnshire Wolds through the poetry of its native son and Victorian laureate Alfred Lord Tennyson. Open Country is in a couple of minutes. Much later, at midnight actually, James Naughtie begins his night shift.
Election night. There will be boisterous debate and good conversation, and above all, the results as they roll in. Join us for the outcome of elections across the UK for the Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Assembly and many English local authorities. We'll be bringing them to you throughout the night as they happen, and we'll hear from the parties and our correspondents at the counts across the country to try to chart the changes that your votes will bring. Join us for election 2016 with Anna Foster and me, James Naughty, at midnight through until dawn on BBC Radio 4.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. The government has said it's willing to pause the introduction of new contracts for junior doctors in England for 5 days from Monday to allow for fresh talks with the British Medical Association. But it says the doctors' union must focus on outstanding contractual issues such as unsocial hours and Saturday pay. Doctors have staged a number of strikes in protest against the imposition of new conditions. Professor Dame Sue Bailey chairs the Academy of Medical Royal Colleges, which put forward the pause.
This is our last chance saloon because the imposition process will start later this month. The junior doctors have critical talks at the weekend, and I think if they're in a safe space with a good senior person there from outside health, they can look at the remaining areas, the 5 to 10% that needs to be agreed. And really this has to be the way forward, because if we don't, I think in the future we will look back with regret.
The Ministry of Justice is to take over a young offenders unit in Kent, which has been at the centre of allegations that staff assaulted children. Ministers commissioned an independent inquiry into the Medway Centre, which is run by the private firm G4S, after undercover filming by the BBC's Panorama programme. David Cameron has said he won't apologise to the Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump for describing his proposed ban on Muslims entering the United States as stupid and wrong. But Mr. Cameron said anyone who made it through the American primaries deserved respect. Police in Northern Ireland have arrested 14 people at a funeral of a dissident Republican in Strabane in County Tyrone. Michael Barr, a member of the new IRA, was shot dead in Dublin last week. The men detained are being questioned under anti-terrorism laws. A glossy tourist brochure has been published for an island in Orkney which doesn't exist. The spoof guide to Mamo Estuary included imaginary attractions such as the tropical gardens of Nether Biggins and the world-famous Tomb of the Haddock. It's now been withdrawn. BBC News.
I'm Phoebe Fox. As part of the BBC Shakespeare Festival, I play Lady Anne in The Hollow Crown, The Wars of the Roses. Actors dream of doing Shakespeare with a cast like this. It looks like I got lucky. But where I feel really fortunate is being part of Shakespeare's greatest plays. Desperation, the intrigue, and for me, my character's agony in making a choice that is no choice at all. If someone says they don't like Shakespeare's plays, I tell them they just haven't found their play yet. Find your Shakespeare as you like it.
The Hollow Crown, The Wars of the Roses, starts with Henry VI Part 1 on Saturday night at 9 on BBC Two.
You can join Radio 4's book club in half an hour discussing The Infatuations, a book about the way we all spin stories and imagine things and let our minds shape the unknown. It's by the eminent Spanish novelist Javier Marías. That's at 4:30. Now it's time for Open Book with Open Country with Helen Mark.